This is the Friday evening of the Metta Weekend Retreat at the Gatehouse. And there are a way of seeing our meditation training is there are three modes to it. There is the mode of inspiring ourselves, of gladdening the heart, of cheering ourselves, of lightening the spirit, brightening the soul, whatever language you like, but the heart and its uplift as one aspect of meditation. Another is the aspect of meditation which calms the busy, speedy, fractured mind down, settles us down. So one lifts us up, one calms us down. That aspect of meditation is concentration, the gathering together of the mind that is usually so speedy, doing 1,001 things, multitasking like crazy. So it's simplifying and calming the mind. That's another mode of meditation. And a third mode of meditation is the mode where we can let go of, release, give away the tendencies to get all tight and struggly. The letting go or the releasing aspect of meditation. That last one, actually I don't want to even put any comparison between any of them, but they are all three interwoven in meditation and they all depend on each other. We can't, for instance, calm ourselves down if we're all upset. We need to reassure ourselves before we will relax enough and calm down. We can't let go of our reactions to things if the mind is fractured and spinning. It needs to be calmed down in some way. If we just emphasize, for instance, in practice, just practiced a letting go of the mind, the attitude of the mind, which is so busy chasing things and trying to make things be great and trying to get away from stuff and scheming and planning, the busy mind, and we just relaxed it. If it's not calm, we'll just relax it into more of the same confusion. The mind can't relax and calm down by just letting go, because we just sit here and off we'll be, you know, we'll be all caught up in our neurosis, letting go into more neurosis. If we cheer ourselves up, we can cheer ourselves up, but then we can go into all kinds of dreams about the things that we love and get carried away with fantasies. If we just calm the mind down and become quiet with the mind, especially if we're working against an upset, then we can get very tight and very grim. So each one of those three modes by itself has a downside, but the other two keep them all going, keep it all in a lovely balance. A sense of lightness and happiness and joy and delight and appreciation, all the heart factors, which we're going to be exploring more this weekend. It's beautiful practice. The concentration and the calming, and then the relaxing. All together are required. So, but the emphasis this weekend is going to be on the first one of those three. Not that it's first in priority, but it's really the first to do. When we're learning meditation, or when we begin a meditation period, however long or not long we take in that aspect of the practice, we need that. We need a certain inspiration before we leave in practice. We need some kind of reason why, some kind of enthusiasm, something that's valuable and meaningful, that's that hopeful, why we would even do it. So we need to reflect on what that is, cheer ourselves up and remember the values. They're values of the heart as an establishment to do the rest of it. And what we, in this tradition, the practice which we do, it's like a dance form, it's like really an art. But it's described in the Pali language as metta, M-E-T-T-A. This is why you've come here, this retreat, metta. Translated as many things, but most commonly translated as loving kindness. My favorite translation is friendliness. I get wary about certain words. They can trigger us. Friendliness is very hard to get hung up about. Love, on the other hand, can be a bit of a setup. We can really expect something particularly juicy around love. Even loving friendliness, it makes it, you know, somehow heightened friendliness. Whereas friendliness, when you're feeling friendly, let's just imagine you're in the company of a good friend. I mean, maybe you are in the company of a good friend. Some of us are with our friends here. But when you are a good friend, nothing more loaded, nothing more intense, dramatic, complicated, a good friend. You know how that feels. It feels relaxed. Like you don't have to prove yourself. They're a good friend. And we know they're a good friend. We trust them. They care about us. They know us fairly well. They're on our side. We're not trying to impress them. We're not trying to make them love us, because they do already. We can tell them what's going on honestly, because they're not going to go away when we do. We feel safe. We feel comfortable. We feel easy. Relaxed. Natural. It's natural. It's kind of like our default setting. It's how we just, when we're in our homes, feeling easy, it's like that. That really is what we mean by metta. Loving kindness, loving friendliness. There's a whole range, of course, a continuum. It can be very, very ecstatic. I mean, you know, that would be metta also. Really delighted to see somebody and really happy to be with them. Or somebody just says, you know, you're with your good friend and they say some little special thing and it just so touches you that it's a, you know, bigger feeling of friendliness and happiness. It can be strong. It can be very, very touching. Or it can be, as I first described, it's got a comfortable, easy, friendly, safe, relaxed, natural state. It can be lower key. It can be just comfortable. Nothing special, nothing loaded, not charged particularly, but fine, just fine, comfortable. That's also metta. It can be even lower key again. You can be in a situation that you don't particularly like, but you are okay there. You can handle it just fine. It's not a problem. May not be great, maybe in some kind of like some public place that isn't super comfy and you're a little on the cool side, but you're not troubled. You're fine. This is still friendly. Your heart is still fine. Not metta is when our hearts are closed, when they're shrinking or angry or scared, something like that, bummed out, disconnected. But when we're fine, we're open, we can tolerate the situation, there's no wishing it were different feeling. Even if it's not particularly pleasant, but if we're okay with it, that's metta. So right off the bat, don't expect all the bells and all the choirs of angels, and don't set it up for yourself and then be disappointed if that's not what happens. It's simply that feeling where the heart isn't, there's nothing there that's causing tension. It's soft in here, tender. It is said that when we understand, we understand ourselves or we understand somebody else, along with that understanding, we care about them. If we don't understand somebody, we don't know them enough to have some way to actually relate to where they're coming from, then we'll be disconnected. But as soon as we understand, we go, oh yeah, of course. We're suddenly connected. There isn't a separation. It's the misunderstanding that causes a separation between people. So how that's said in many different ways. One of the ways is wisdom expresses itself as love. Wisdom simply meaning understanding. When we understand, the expression of understanding is the feeling of friendliness, of connection. Love is wisdom's natural radiance, is a phrase. I love that phrase, because I love the word radiance. Because when you're there with your good friend, there's this feeling of warmth coming out, like a radiator. If you're not feeling that way, then that's not metta. If there isn't any kind of like opening feeling. But what we require is some understanding. So in our meditation, one of the things that happens as we meditate, the mind calms down. As the mind calms down, it begins to understand more clearly because it's not so caught in its reaction. The waves settle down, and then we can see, oh, that's what's going on. Oh, of course, I see. I didn't realize what you were thinking when you said that. As soon as we understand, then we reconnect. So they go together. You don't just care about somebody when you don't appreciate what's going on for them. They go together. And actually, it's the way we want to be. It's the way we've been for thousands and thousands of years in our communities. That's why we use that word, community. We're united. And it's the most natural thing in the world. It's not natural for us to live in, you know, very crowded urban centers, knowing nobody, and being among strangers all day long, and sort of like numbing out for them. It's actually not the way we've always been for such a long time. It's a relatively recent experience for us. And as soon as we see somebody we know, that delightful feeling about, oh, you recognize them, that's kind of how we want to be. It's how naturally we are. Particularly whenever we're in any kind of upset, when anything happens to anybody, it's now, of course, become commonplace that when somebody is particularly discover that we're in a new, difficult scenario, we have a certain condition, or something has happened to us that's some kind of a problem thing, our caregivers put us in touch with others who are in the same boat. Because then we can relate, understand each other, and feel safe and seen and heard and in some form of community. We need that. It's like the most natural thing for us to be among friends, among people who we are familiar with, whom we're familiar. So this isn't like a strange, weird, extra, special thing to generate. It's actually how we want to be and how we naturally are. Unless we're in, you know, stress, speedy, urban, too many strangers, too busy to be able to be the way we naturally want to be. I think about things like, as soon as we encounter something difficult, there's a tendency to connect. I was thinking of what I was going to say tonight. We're all down there in the lineup, and then the ferry's really late. And then we all start being friends with each other and chatting about how late the ferry is and where are you going and are you going to make your connections. And because of the common problem unites us. We just want to be friendly. One of the things people ask me about living here, I've lived on this island for 32 years. 32 years. What do I like about it, apart from that it's very beautiful and the climate is right and it's not too far away from the cities but not too close and all of the... The thing that I love the most is being in community, because you feel that feeling so much, so often. Any of us who live here, and quite a lot of us here do live here, and other communities that we may live in, it's such a sweet feeling. And one of the things that people say, this is all on the subject of metta, I go to Portland 2 or 3 times a year and have been for a few years now. And people in Portland, particularly Portland, of all the places I go other than here, they love Portland almost as much as we love Salt Spring. And one of the reasons why they love Portland is particularly established that people live in their communities there. That's what they say they love about Portland. It's interesting. In other words, we just love to feel that feeling of friendliness, familiarity, not have to be super popular with bags of friends, but just that comfortable feeling. That's metta. Metta was originally taught as an antidote to fear. A lot of you know that, but some of you wouldn't realize that. When we're afraid, the heart shrinks. We're no longer available. We're just like caught up inside our worries. And it relaxes and opens us up. Here's another quote. This is Hafiz, the Persian poet. How did the rose ever open its heart and give to this world all of its beauty? It felt the encouragement of light against its being. Otherwise, we all remain too frightened. We need warmth, love, to be seen, to be able to open up. We absolutely must have it. So in the beginning, there were some monks practicing. They were told by the Buddha to go off. He discovered there was a great place to practice. It would be a very supportive community and a lovely environment and fresh water and so on and so forth. So a troop of them go off to this place somewhere away and start practicing there. And it's said in the legends that the spirits of the forest, first of all, were quite happy to have a bunch of monks come by and sit there, but they didn't realize that they were going to actually stay there. And they decided that they didn't want so many monks in their forest, so they started freaking them out and being all woo-woo-woo, you know, and giving them scary vibes from the trees. And so the monks were scared, and so they went trooping all the way back to the Buddha and said, this, you know, may be a nice place, but we don't want to be around all those tree sprites who are freaking us out. So the Buddha said, oh, it'll be fine, go back, it's a great place. All you do is you send them a lot of love. Just keep wishing them happiness, and then they'll leave you alone. And that's what happened. And they not just like left them alone, they were like really happy to have them there. So they just had to be kind to them and wish them well. That's the origin. So whenever you're upset, particularly if you're worried about people, if you bring some kindness to yourself or to them, that really reduces the anxiety. Hugely. It's a brilliant. It's a brilliant soother. What else about it? The thing about this is, we'll do the formal practice soon. I just want to consider it more in its context first. What we do in the formal practice is we are sending blessings, basically. We're sending out wishes of well-being. And what happens is we feel good when we do that. Sometimes we feel better than other times, because sometimes we judge ourselves and we feel like, I don't feel it, I'm just saying the words, but I'm not feeling it. My heart's made of stone. Oh no, this is hopeless, I can't do this. I got into that for about 15 years because I didn't learn enough ways to make it my own. I said in the beginning it's like a dance, it's like an art. I wasn't given permission, and for whatever reason, experiment and try and find ways to do it that I really could relate to. I was taught one way to do it and I couldn't relate to it, and so I didn't do it, and I thought there was something wrong with me. It took me a long time to realize there was nothing wrong with me. I just had to find a way to do this practice that I could relate to and feel comfortable with. So there is the wishing well part of the practice, which cheers us up hugely. But there's another aspect of it. What it really does, the practice, as well as, you know, we're generating kindness, radiating friendliness, which is a beautiful idea, as well as that, what we're really doing is we're tuning in to how our hearts are, how we feel in here. And some of that is lovely, and some of that is not so lovely. So it's tuning us in to get to know ourselves, not just know ourselves completely, not just know our minds, but really know, what's the state of my heart right now? So we get increasingly familiar with how this feels in here, this part of ourselves. So it's both a generating of well-being, which is a beautiful thing, but it's also a discovery process as you get to know yourself. And that needs even more of the kindness, because some of what's here we don't want to see. We don't want to know and admit that we're judgmental or we're critical or we're, you know, bummed out. But that will be revealed. How you are will be revealed. It's not going to just make you all be happy and fine as a fix. It's a way of discovering who you are, some of which we need to have a lot of space for, a lot of kindness for. So we need kindness to be kind, in other words. The thing is, we don't really realize, as same with Vipassana, we don't most of the time spend our times tuning into how I am. We're very busy looking out beyond ourselves at the beautiful things that make us feel good, or we're noticing the things that really upset us. We're not noticing how we are, we're noticing those things. And all of meditation practice, and certainly this Theravadan Buddhism, is to shift the focus from what makes us happy to how happy or not we are. What makes us unhappy, instead of looking at that, to notice, oh, I'm feeling this way. because it's my feelings that are going to change, not the beautiful things or the ugly things. They will keep on happening. So this aspect is turning, this practice is turning our attention to our hearts. Okay, I think I've talked enough about it. I want us to do some practice together. There are two aspects, in a way, two versions of this. There is the practice, in just a second, there's the attitude of friendliness. And that's a sort of general feeling of being friendly, of being open-hearted, of being interested, of being available. That's one. And it's kind of just the general aspect of it. And then there's the particular aspect of this metta, which is the technique of wishing a number of wishes to some different people. And that's kind of the formal, organized way. And I know a lot of you know this well, but there are a number of you who are new, so I'm explaining it to you in this way. So, how it works. I wonder how much... Yes, I'll explain a bit more tonight, because then... Yes. How it works is, it's usually suggested, the formal practice of this metta, that we think of three or four or five, maximum five, wishes, blessings. Any less than three, and they can be not that interesting. They could be fine, but the reason for three or four or five is because each time we take a few seconds on one, and then the next one, it's slightly different and it keeps our interest. And the next one again is a little interested, is a little different again, it keeps our interest. If we have more than five, it gets too complicated. We lose touch. And so we find our way. And the traditional areas of blessings, are which I recommend, but it's an art, so I'm giving you the pieces and you're going to mix them and make your own cake here. The first one is usually, and you'll see the sense of it, is usually something about feeling comfortable, feeling safe, feeling inspired. It's kind of like a general tone that everything's fine. It's the good stuff. Safe is a key word often, and a word which I use is trust. When you feel safe and you can trust, you're already beginning to be relaxed and it's okay. So it's sort of the setting. The next one generally is suggested to be something about mental health. So when you're mentally healthy, what would that mean for you? It'd be words like calm or peaceful or happy or content, those kind of things. State of mind. The next one that's usually suggested is often around something about physical well-being. Comfortable, healthy, healed, or strong, pain-free, relatively pain-free. May my body serve me well. There's lots of different, but that's just giving you the general. And then there's one about your state of your heart. I love that one. The state of your heart itself can be a wish. May my heart be tender. May my heart be friendly. May my heart be soft, open, warm, filled with kindness. May I love myself. May I accept myself. It's all of those kinds of juicy one. That one. And then another one is, and this is typically the last one, is about feeling free from anxiety, like completely at ease. The phrase that's very common is to live with a sense of ease, or live with ease and well-being. Meaning, when we're really wise, when we really understand and we're completely peaceful, there's a sense of relief, like life is just easy. It doesn't mean life is easy, it means we're easy with life. So those are the general ones. So take of those three or four or five, or make up your own. But somewhere in the good, because those are wishes that we all want. Everybody, everywhere, including for ourselves, we all would like. safe and protected from harm. I like trusting goodness. I do trust goodness completely. That's the one thing. Safe and protected from inner and outer harm, or protected from struggle, something like that. Free from struggle, free from animosity. A traditional one is free from enmity, which is not so groovy to say, but it means, you know, safe from hassle. Calm and peaceful. Healthy and strong. And some people make little ditties, little rhymes. Some people make little songs. Some people make them a little bit longer because the words keep them connected. Some people don't like too many words and they want just the heart word, just the actual essence word, just a, you know, without a lot of filler. All of which work. Some people, when they make a wish, they also have images in their minds, or they have a memory, or this one is their, you know, memory of sitting on their granny's lap, and this one is their swing, and this one is, you know, at the beach, or, you know, their childhood memories, or something like that, their bed, something. And it's nice to get a kind of rhythm to the thing as it gets going, and this will take you some time. And so we have the time. We have a whole weekend of doing this, which is lovely, to come up with your own kind of rhythm. I'll say them. We'll do some together, and I'll say some. And then again tomorrow we'll do a guided one, and I'll say some other ones so you can learn some different ones. So far, are there any questions? So what I'd like us to do is, let's take 10 minutes, stretch, move a little, pee break, don't go far, go outside, stand on the deck, a little sun on you, just take a few minutes stretch, and then we'll come back, and then we'll practice together. Does that sound okay? Mm-hmm.